We back again for another great episode of Gossip. Today we're asking the question, what was it like, or what was it that gave you the awakening? Like, what was the dawning period in your life, the way you felt like things were not what you were, as they was taught to you, or things were just different as you perceived the world?
I would say, honestly, most of, I think, my adult life, something registered within me that either I didn't fit into, like, what was considered normal around me. Just energetically, I just always felt different. I felt the things that were important to me weren't important to a lot of other people. I felt like I was seeing things, and when I say seeing things, just kind of seeing things take shape in the world that just didn't make sense to me. But I would say probably around 2014, I was going through a transition, you know, leaving my job. I've always grown up in the church, and I was transitioned. I have been going through this spiritual transition just in terms of my relationship with the church. So about 2014, there was an idea introduced to me, you know, knowledge of self, by a friend. And, you know, I was like, he instructed, he was like, stop reading the Bible. He was like, you ain't got to go away, just stop reading it. And he started, you know, sharing with me different texts and different videos of our history. And I think that was really the moment where I was like, wait a minute. No wonder I felt like this stuff wasn't real, because literally it's just been an illusion of lies. And of course, with that came anger and frustration, because religion being my foundation, Christianity being my foundation, and not just, you know, we went to church every Sunday. We did, but there were parts of my life where I would visit certain family members where we would go to church literally Monday through Sunday. Holiness background. So I always felt kind of weird, like I said, with the church aspect. I felt like there was a lot of hypocrisy more than anything, even just as a child. So when I started to look at the history of religion, the history of Black people in America, and how we, you know, were indoctrinated, it made sense that I was not connecting. But, you know, so I kind of went on I went on this journey, and I think, you know, probably around the same time, 2014, 2015, I recall one day, like, riding with my mom, and I just felt like I was being torn in two. I felt like what was inside of me and what I was experiencing, what was required of me in the physical world, and what I felt intuitively, or, you know, just within me internally, just wasn't jiving. Like I said, it just felt like I was being torn in two. Like, the person who I was in the world was not the person who I was spiritually. And then probably around 2015, I just started feeling heavy. I started feeling this heaviness, and I started feeling like, you know, at that time, Trump, I think, had announced his presidency, and I kind of laughed it off, like, he'll actually win. But I don't think, you know, I think the Trump antics were just starting to kind of, for lack of a better term, Trump up. And I don't know, I just felt this melancholy inside of me, like, you're a single parent, you know. Well, you know, my daughter's father doesn't live in the same state with me. I live in a city where, I mean, there's family here, but realistically, I'm responsible for protecting my daughter, who was like a preteen or something like that, and my elderly parents, you know. And thank God my parents are of good mind and, you know, physical health for the most part, but I felt start feeling like the responsibility of being a woman, a single woman, in this world, and I felt like it was going to definitely get worse before it got better.
Right.
I'm like, you know, it's about to go down. I don't know when, where, how, what it looks like, but this is not the time to be by yourself, or, you know, at least in the broader sense, without community.
Right.
Because you can't force, you know, a partnership or a relationship with someone, and I wasn't in the space or position or even, you know, circumstance that would usher in that type of, you know, partnership of protection. So, you know, it's like, well, what do you do?
What gave you the realization that something was about to go down? And then is that the same realization that made you realize that community or maybe a man is important? Like, help me out with that.
Well, I would say there wasn't any particular event. All I can really do is describe, like, the day. I was actually at my mom's house, and I was staying with my parents at the time, and I just remember going outside. It was a beautiful day outside. I just remember sitting down on, like, the little wall and just thinking to myself that things are about to change. What we've been used to, the things that, you know, we've been comfortable with, those are security. Our human security is about to be challenged, and I don't remember any specific precipitating event. I mean, again, 2015, he was full, you know, Trump was full on doing his tours and things like that, and they were having Trump rallies. So there may have been things probably in the media that were signaling that, but there wasn't any specific event where I can just say, like, oh, it's about to go down. Yeah. It was just like an all-encompassing feeling.
See, the reason why I'm asking is because I've talked to women and men alike, and they still don't recognize that shit is going down right now. Like, they still don't recognize it. So that's why I asked the question, because I've talked to people that still don't see it. Like, they just still don't see it. I'm like, wow, how can you not see the stuff that's happening right in front of your face? Like, but it's amazing to me. So that's why I asked.
Well, and I think it's so kind of unique because of my position in life. So when I say position, I would say more or less my occupation or my path to purpose. And so I've worked in social services since I graduated from college. And I've been over 20 years now. So I'm able to see things from the ground up. Most people are functioning from a space where their only concern when they wake up is themselves.
Sure.
So, you know, how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to feed my family, the decisions I make, will, you know, how that affects my well-being. I'm in a position where I literally go into work, or I'm servicing my community in ways where I'm looking at the needs of someone else, not my own personal needs.
Gotcha.
And so I'm looking at this system, and I'm seeing a huge system failure. And I'm seeing where people are arguing back and forth about Trump and this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, this has been going down, but y'all just didn't care. So I actually felt that Trump was a good thing only in the that it was finally bringing to the surface what has been underneath for so long. Because people don't think about poor people. People don't think about people resources. In fact, we blame them for their position in life. And we don't look at those systems that impact how a person, you know, fares in life, what they have access to. And so, you know, it's easy to blame a mom, a single mom, for, oh, you shouldn't have been opening up your legs, or you should have been making more decisions and things of that nature. But when you see that fabric, you know, that those generational cycles that we like to talk about now, when you see that every single day, you I think I was able to process it a little different, you know, because I wasn't looking out for my well-being. I was looking at the well-being of the community always. So I would say that's probably why it hit me the way it did, because at the same time, most of my friends, I have a pretty generous amount of friends who are educators, but for the most part, you know, most of the people are some type of corporate job or some type of profession, engineer, you know, those kind of things, right? So it's that. And so having even conversations with them was painful at times, because I'm like, people are really out here suffering and you're kind of really arrogant about it. I think that a lot of people are dismissive of the condition of society right now. But fast forward, more people are aligning themselves with their inherent spirituality versus the practice religion that was indoctrinated within us. And I think even then, community is important when you're looking at our African principles. Community has always been who we are. You know, we are, when you look at where we came from, where we might, well, not even migrated from, but where we were brought from, it was very community-based. It was about we. It was about a system of sustainability that was about we. America is 100% individualistic. Everything is about I. And so, I don't know, I think even as we start looking at how we're trying to come back together as a community, I still think it's kind of severed and jagged, and we have to figure out what issues are our business and what issues are not our business. But that doesn't stop the fact that this system that we're living under right now is crumbling.
True. So like you said, like how you said, what's our business and what's not our business. This war that is going on is really trying to figure out the right word. It's really detrimental to the world at this current time because of what they're trying to do. The great thing about it is that we can get more about our business. When this country collapses, because it's going to collapse in a matter of time, and that could be days or months, but it's happening, like right now. This war is part of the process. That's why we got involved. You know what I'm saying? It's all
pandemic was part of the process.
Yeah, it's all part of the creating a narrative, something to write in the history books, like why the great America failed. Well, it was because of this and because of that. It was just really all a damn plan in the first place, and the fact that they've been broke, they have to pay up now, and so, you know what I'm saying? So they got to create this narrative or these reasons as to why, when the real reason is that you've been broke and you've been damn, you know, using monopoly money for such a long time. And now people like, no, we want real value, and you have no value to provide.
And to kind of veer out just a second, but still to your point, you're making me now think about this whole argument of why people won't budge on reparations. Because the truth of the matter is, where the country is right now and being broke, right? Even if we cut the check for reparations, guess what happens? Black people will inherently be in power. Because that's the only thing that's keeping us back. We have no economic power right now. So don't think they're ever intended, but with the country being, as you know, just kind of teetering on the topple,
right?
Reparations will ensure that white dominant power will fall. They know that. They know a lot of things. In fact, you know, people conspiracy theory, right? And I'm never going to subscribe to being like the scholar, because I'm not. I just read enough and I perceive enough and my intuition kicks in greatly at times. But, you know, we know that America is a business, right?
Yeah, it's corporation.
It's a corporation.
Oh, yeah, all day.
And we know that it's ran as a corporation, and it's corporations who run the country. It's not politicians. I mean, you know, they do the business of the day, but the marching orders come from corporations, right. And, you know, obviously the Department of Defense. That being said, every company has a strategic plan.
That's right.
And every company has a strategic plan that's like 5-year, 10-year, you know, looking in the future. So it is my belief, inherent belief, and I've also heard some rumblings, but it is my, it makes sense. It tracks, it aligns with that line of thinking that when the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written, they saw how far they wanted America to go. There was a strategic plan put in place. There was a timeline put in place. And we're just following the timeline. If you can go back and say, oh, take the pandemic. Well, Obama tried to tell Trump before he left office or whatever. But Obama tried to let people know that this pandemic was coming. And then I think that there was, you know, reports that even there was some stuff going on with the George Bush administration. My thing is there was so much foresight. When did that foresight begin? We'll never really know. But how one president know, and then we walk smack into it. But nothing was done to prevent it.
Well, the thing is that these people that we see have leaders that we don't see. And so them people are doing what the hell they're told. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how you can see them going back and forth, like, because they got to do what they told.
And this is where this narrative, and I apologize, but this is where these narratives are being shaped. By the time it gets to the public knowledge, even in some shape, form, or fashion, right, just the smallest leak to, you know, because they will retract something and they will scrub the internet so, but by the time it becomes, you know, into public awareness, it's like you said, there's been so much conversation, preparation, planning, investment, conversations, you know what I'm saying, before it even gets to us to even be aware of it. So if you think that we just learn just a little bit, you can only imagine how much we don't know, right?
Yeah.
That's that shadow government that you're talking about. That's those silent powers that be, that control everything. And so that's why people say, you know, you can't even really believe anything that you hear or see, because you don't see anything.
Back when I used to do heavy research, I don't do heavy research now because I know the internet has been altered, and that was what they called the Mandela effect. But before internet was altered, I used to do extensive research to the point where they shut my computer down. You can know what their plan is because they write it down. Like, I've been telling people about this time period that we're in now. I was telling people back about this shit back in like 99. I'll take that back. Probably about 2002. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you can read it. Shit, that's a matter of fact, 20-year plan. So you can read it, you know what I'm saying? Like, they write all this stuff down, and if you do the research, you can find out what they're planning. Now, when I read it back then, did I know it was going to happen like right now? No, I did not. But I just knew it was coming. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, these people don't take the time to do no shit that they don't plan on manifesting. Like, these people plan to manifest the shit that they say. It's not, they don't move like we do. Like, sometimes we say shit, but we don't necessarily do it. These not that type of people. When they say some shit, they plan on making it happen. And so, because...
Well, you know, you gotta go back to September 11th. Certain events show us what is really going on. But it's interesting when you just said, you know, you were doing this research. And this is how they shut down our senses. And, you know, obviously, I'm sure you know the conversations about our diet and things that we, you know, eat. But like, let's just be realistic. You're talking about 2002. That is the year I graduated from college. That is the year I got engaged, I think. It was a year before I started my family. And my mind wasn't thinking about anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a higher learning institution, reading their books, thinking that this was the pathway to success and greatness and wealth and all that American dream stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living this world where, oh, you know, I even remember thinking of myself like when I was proposed to, oh, well, checking off boxes, went to college, graduating, oh, what do you do next? Oh, you get engaged. Oh, you get married too. Like, in my mind, I'm checking off boxes.
Right.
That's how they're hiding information from us, because they're putting other things in front of us.
That's right.
When we look at our great-grandparents, they were getting married at 15, 16 uh-huh. years old, 20 years old, and building solid families
uh-huh.
and family-ran businesses at that time. But here uh-huh. we're like, oh, I'm going to college, uh-huh. and then I got to, you know, live this
uh-huh.
American pipe dream, and that's uh-huh. how they hid all this uh-huh. stuff from us, because they got us believing into something that was never
uh-huh. us. They got us, they got you distracted. You know what I'm saying? The same way.
It was a beautiful distraction, right?
Oh, of course.
Who would ever
it's
turn their
beautiful.
Nose up at education and a family
That's
and
right.
living a, you know, upright and righteous, quote unquote, life,
That's
right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, because we have been distracted, even more so, you know what I'm saying, the real objective was to distract the woman from wanting to be a housemaker. And to want to have her independence, and this all started with the feminist movement. That was the real distraction, because once the woman wanted to leave the house and be out here in the world with the man, okay, that the family is gone. There is no foundation no more, because everybody out here in the world, nothing's at home.
Uh-huh.
Because home is the foundation. So if nobody's at home, there is no foundation.
Come on now. And it's interesting that we're talking about this, because I guess it's interesting to say, from the last time we talked to now, there have been some things that are, you know, life never has stopped and current events never stop happening. I think the last time we talked, Russia did not, you know, attack Ukraine. So things have changed even just in a matter of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, there's all this data. So once again, I work in community, I work in education. There's all this data that is saying literacy rates across the country are plummeting, right? And so I just saw some data from my area, from my region. And so my city is considered, quote unquote, a major city in Ohio. It's not a big city, but it's major, and so it took like the suburbs mm-hmm. or the smaller communities that are surrounding my city, and it pulled up the data for, you know, the reading, the kindergarten readiness data, right?
Okay,
and
yeah,
the kindergarten readiness data
mm-hmm.
basically from 2017 and 2018 shows the majority of communities were under 50%. Like, I'm talking about even some of the quote-unquote white communities, suburban communities that we're used to seeing in my area being at 25%, 26%. And, of course, I'm in an urban school district. That's an impoverished school district. So we're at 25%. And this was 2017, 2018 data. now that you've had the pandemic and you've had a separation of learning, right? Mm-hmm. Because we become totally dependent on the schools to educate our children.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's been this loss of learning, as they're calling it, mm-hmm. you can only imagine what those rates are now. But once again, I've been in a position to watch the falling and the dismantling of public education.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have an education system, how can you even compete globally? How can you prepare your citizens for anything if most of them can't read? So let's go back to what you were just talking about. Feminism, taking the woman out of the home. And I'm not saying women can't do the thing. We've always done the thing. Come on now, we're the originators of civilization. Oh. We've always had the ability to do the thing.
Oh, that's right.
The point is, when we have created a society that has oppressed the woman and not empowered her even as someone who is a homemaker who takes care of the kids, and she feels that she can only have purpose outside of the home. Now you have couples
okay.
who want to be.
I'm gonna interject now, and I really don't mean to, but to go to hit right with where you're talking about, the woman was never oppressed. What they did, you came right back around to it. They gave her a new objective. See, her objective changed. See, she was focused on being at the house and taking care of the kids. They created a new objective for her. And she did
it. Exactly. Well, and so what we're saying now, so let's bring that back around. What we're saying now, and that was the point of me saying all of this data, white mm-hmm. communities, black communities, unless they're extremely affluent communities, they're failing literacy. Why? Because people are focused outside of the home and not what's going on inside
yeah.
of the home.
Yep.
My grandmother was not educated. However, out of the 8 children that she had, this is my guiding light right now in life. Knowing that out of the 8 children that she had, my mom being the 4th born, which makes her the 2nd daughter, which she told my mom, you got to get your education. So my mother graduates from high school, and then she migrates to the north in the Great Migration of 1965. And my mother became the incubator of the family. What I mean by that is that all of her younger siblings came and lived with my mom. They, you know, they graduated from high school. Then they came and lived with my mom, got their feet off the ground, you know, then had their kids. My mom had her kids go to college. And all that was just a tiny seed that was planted from my poor grandmother with 8 kids and no education.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter. What we're saying now is, oh, well, families don't have education in their home, which means that their kids can't succeed. That's a lie.
That's right. That's right.
That's a lie.
That's right.
Because a lot of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-grandparents and ancestors couldn't read because they were enslaved and they were not permitted to, but we were still able to get to where we needed to be.
Come on.
So that's a lie. But, so, like you said, they took the focus out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
My focus, I want to be Barack Obama and Michelle. Like, I want to be a Christmas card.
I heard that.
But what are you doing to ensure the sustainability of your kid? And I'm not talking about, because we're heavy on the generational wealth. And yes, that is very important.
Yeah.
Because somewhere down the line, we wanted to do something different than what God gave us.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to relearn what was already given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Was the fact that we could be sustainable without being integrated into their system.
That's right.
And now we're like, oh, shit. We got to be sustainable with our ingredients in that system because this system sucks like shit. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, we keep wandering around the desert. Does that sound familiar? We keep wandering around the desert because we let them tell us where our goalpost is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to continue to move it because they know that when we get a good grip on things, it's game over for them.
There it is.
They can't even read.
So therefore, they always move the goalpost. So they always move the goalpost. And so, like, to go back to, like, the that, like, I'm an advocate for the Declaration of Indigenous People's Rights. Like, let's begin to set these institutions up. It gave us the right to create our own government, schools, and everything. And part of this, to be honest, is to break up the system. The system is breaking up. And when they break this thing up, they're going to break this country up into districts. You will need a passport to go from state to state because it will no longer be called a state. It will be different. It will be countries. So you will need a passport to go up to move amongst districts. And,
well, here's the thing, though.
Huh?
So your point is not necessarily a bad thing, because let's just be honest.
That's why I'm getting
this
at.
America that we're living in right now cannot meet the needs of every individual demographic or group that
is
that is represented. It just cannot. It's impossible.
Everything finna be broken down. Finna go into the breakdown. And so things are gonna change on a much smaller scale. And the school system's gonna fall apart intentionally, because the world is changing. We're trying to move into a quote-unquote higher vibration. And so in doing so, all of the illnesses have to be exposed. That's why you hear all this sex trafficking and all that stuff, and about these alien beings, and everything has to be exposed. So once everything is exposed, now we can see things for what it is. Now we can break it down to a smaller scale. It's just like building anything. You know what I'm saying? If the phone, if it's already put together, how you gonna know how it works? You got to break it down.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. You and I are talking about this very fluidly. I will definitely defer to you in terms of your research and your study. When we say, why haven't we taken the proper measurements or proper steps or proper planning, I'm caught in between. I'm one of those people that's caught in between. I'm more on the side of where I need to be in alignment with the truth, but there's still fear. I'm still not fearful because I want to hold on to things as they are. I ain't got that much going on for myself. I have intrinsically, spiritually, I have more than enough, but I'm not six figures. You know what I'm saying? I'm not pushing luxury vehicles and things of that nature. First of all, I'm not a materialist. First, I'm not materialistic, never have been. But I'm also realizing, like, you gotta pay to live anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta come up out of where you were, and you just have to embrace and accept the fact that it just costs more to live. Mm-hmm. And so I like living a simple life. You know, I don't want a big 1,000, 2,000 square foot home, but based on materialism, yes, I want land. I want a home that's going to be sustainable, because when it goes down, it's going down. But just so it can look cute and be featured on Home and Garden and all that stuff, I'm good. You know, I don't chase material stuff like that. But with that being said, it is scary for me to understand that these things are happening, and you have to respond to them appropriately, or there's a strong possibility of being left behind. But to what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, it's just about raising your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I have to be constantly reminded of this, and I'm so grateful for my spiritual guy, because he keeps me all the way together. He's like, none of this matters. Is that you just focus on you and your baby. None of this matters. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to see the things that's going on around me and then being like, oh my God, oh my God. But I know.
What they're trying to do is that, to raise your vibration, we got to go back natural. But they could tell you that's primitive. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want you to believe in this technological world. You know what I'm saying? This is where they want to make their next big trillions of dollars. Like, this technology. So they don't be primitive. Let's do technology. You know, they really want us to go that way. You know what I'm saying? But to raise the vibration, we got to get back in nature. We got to start back getting our hands dirty in the soil and growing our food, talking to it, going out there, talking to the trees, touching the trees, you know what I'm saying? Putting our feet in the grass, like to ground ourselves. Like, we really got to get back in nature. You know, and so with them breaking this thing down and putting us into smaller groups, and so when we start having these neighborhood schools, no longer public schools, it's going to be community schools. You know what I'm saying?
Which I'm voting for and I'm pushing for, and I'm praying that I can help build.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to come down to. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be come down to the local teacher that's in the area. You know what I'm saying? We'll pull our resources together and let's pay her. You know what I'm saying? Teach our children what you know.
Yeah.
You know, because you got the degree.
I'm looking forward to it, though, honestly.
Say what now?
I'm looking forward to it because
we've gotten too big,
right? I remember growing up and just knowing... I didn't get into a lot of mess because of how I was raised. Like I said, I was raised in the church, but here's the thing. My mom had friends from all her versions of life, right? When she was in the streets, when she was working at the post office, and from the church. So with that being said, I knew that there was nowhere in this city where I could go without potentially running into one of my mother's peers. Then them going to tell my mom, and my mom was a force to be reckoned with.
Right.
So I was like, not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to be doing no foolishness and get caught up in no foolishness because my mom is, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people talk about fathers, and I'm saying fathers need to be in the home, but we don't give single mothers the respect that they deserve. We've gotten into this narrative like, oh, single mother died. And it's like, but there were so many single mothers who had their foot on their kid's neck because they didn't have a male figure in the home and they were the protector. And a lot of men who talk trash about single moms were raised by single moms and they're doing well. So sometimes we just got to give mamas respect for the mama energy that they bring because it's necessary. Yeah. I do believe that we need both energies, right? Children are whole beings. They're made from two, male and female. Why would we feel like raising them intentionally? Like, there's a difference, right? Because once again, just because she's a single mother doesn't mean it was because she made a poor choice. Her husband could have died.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, could have been anything. So it's not just because she was just laid up with her legs popped open. But we've gotten to the point where we feel like it's okay to disrespect the mother all the time, right? And nobody gets into this realm without the mother. So even if you got mama issues, you don't have to deal with that because you wouldn't be here without her. So,
Definitely.
You know, we got to reconcile and figure out a way, like you said, back home, back to nature, back to, you know, raising a nuclear family. Even just getting into that right now, you know, happy International Women's Day was yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And I see one of the popular black sports outlets do this thing where they're posting pictures of female athletes and their families or their partners, but they're scribbling out the faces of their partners and male children, their male partners and male children. How weird is that? Mm-hmm. What are we psychologically doing to ourselves when we entertain that kind of stuff? Like, we're engaging in psychological warfare through memes and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
Why?
I think people are, you know, they put a lot of, you know, we have been programmed through the subconscious to do a lot of things that we consider fun, but it's evil low-key. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it comes from watching television as a child. You know how sometimes when a child is young and mama might be in there cooking or something, she cut cartoon on, and then cartoon got somebody chasing somebody and then hitting them upside the head or shooting mm-hmm. somebody. Mm-hmm. So we have been programmed to be, violent.
Dysfunctional,
mm-hmm. but violent. See, violence is not just physical. It's tangible and intangible violence.
Mhm. Mhm.
And so, why we do this? Because we've been programmed, and we're not mindful. We're not aware of our actions. We're doing stuff because, I talk to people that try to be the comedian, and sometimes being the comedian, you do a lot of. Are you can say a lot of
demoralizing, damaging, yeah,
facts,
derogatory
things, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so it's it's a program that we must psychologically break. And I think we're gonna have a reckoning moment mm-hmm. when this country collapses. When this country collapses and people I don't have money to do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? People are going to be like, well, wow. If money is no longer valuable, then what is?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that a lot of people haven't thought about.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The reset, as we've just been discussing here, has been happening for a while now. You know, at least 7 years in, to be honest. Probably more longer than that. But on my register, 2014, that's about 7-8 years in. And with that being said, we keep getting these very glaring opportunities to shift.
This going to be the opportunity.
Pandemic was the first big reset, right? Mm-hmm. For you to evaluate your life mm-hmm. and what is important to mm-hmm. you.
That's what it was for.
They made sure you wasn't able to work.
That's why they did.
They paid you
to stay at home because they wanted you to reevaluate this shit. That's exactly why they did it. Go ahead. Keep preaching. Go ahead. Because this is exactly why they did this. And people still don't see it. People still trying to stay in the old system.
And you
want to
know why? I'm going to, because what you were just saying, I don't like to use the word blame, but right now I'm going to blame Amazon. Because instead of being able to fully evaluate importance, what did you just say? Money. We had access to money and we could spend money.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as we could spend the money that we had and just accumulate unnecessary shit, excuse mm-hmm. my language, but that's what a lot of people were doing, and they were bragging about, oh my God, I got a problem.
Oh yeah.
What? We could have built a whole community with the money people spent in it. You want to know why we could have been? Because Jeff Bezos put it in our face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the moon because y'all were using my services over the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have built multiple communities right. with the money we spent just buying things that we didn't need.
Didn't need. You know what I'm saying?
So,
go ahead.
I'm not perfect. But I think living a very modest life allows me to see the BS for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not chasing fame and glory. And I want to live a nice life. Don't get me wrong. There are things I want to accomplish. And I want to be able to be comfortable, right? And I want to be able to live the life that I want to live. But I think that's what has allowed me to be more in tune with what's important and what's not important, to where when these shifts have to happen, I'm not ready to jump out of a window.
I see. That's where the foresight come in at, and insight, you know what I'm saying? Because if you saw it coming, you would have had made one of them blanket ladders and climbed out the window so you wouldn't have to jump. But what we do know is that we got to go out the window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we know we got.
But I feel there's a shift, though. You know, as we're talking about this globally, I don't think as a whole the Black community is ready for what's happening.
No, I think
that there are many, many, many individuals who are seeing things for what they are, and even if they're not speaking to it, they're moving in such a way that will hopefully be, you know, lend itself to sustainability. I mean, seeing that they're African-American, I prefer the term Black, but I know there's all these different terms that we can, you know, identify as. However, I know that there's like maybe 10 Black investors who bought land and are starting their own town.
Let me speak on this for 1 second. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to come back to it. I want to speak on this for 1 second, because you're like African-American, Black. We're not Black people. Because, well, I know, I'm sure you know that Black is an adjective. And it means pale or white or blanc. It's blanc in Spanish. Black in Greek. It's spelled B-L-A-K. And it all means pale or bleached. So we're not Black people. I'm gonna tell you what I had found a long time ago when I did some serious research. I found out the first people that far as what that has ever been known were known as the Ebony people. And I was like, wow. And what dawned on me, I was like, that's why they say we speak Ebonics. Ebony Phonics. I was like,
it's crazy. Yes, Ebony Phonics.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you know, was founded or coined, right? And I guess that's why I'm like, whatever people, because, you know, there's people who say melanated. There's people, I've never heard Ebony, like, in current, you like, use, right? When we're talking about, I identify as, or I'm this, or I'm that. Ebony is not a term that is being used, unfortunately. You know where I see it. I'm not even going to say that. You know where I see the term ebony the most. If I were to see it. I think, you know, it's when you have people who cannot connect themselves, and you and I have been talking offline about this haplogroup, right, in our DNA. And when you have people who cannot connect to their origin, it's hard to connect to the right or the most accurate term for who we are. Because can you even say that all of us are Moors? Because the Moors will believe that we are.
Well, okay, so, I'm going to speak on that, because the reason the United States, okay, let me take it back for a second. Moors was the last, that was our last, goddamn, how can I say this? Morocco, which is the United States, right? The occupants of Morocco are known as Moors. So by default, we'll be Moors. But this is where people get things a little congealed. The so-called Black people in America are a conglomerate of people, because where I stay is also known as the center of the world. And a long time ago, it was an area called the World Trade Center. And the reason why they called it the World Trade Center is because people from all over the world come here to trade. And so a lot of the so-called Black people in America are ancient Mayans. These people they talk about disappeared. Ancient Egyptians, which they know for a fact we are, because I've read books where they talk about that we dread the day they figure out the day the Egyptians. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know who we are. You know what I'm saying? And so by calling yourself a Moor does not take away you being a Mayan. It does not take away you being a Chinaman, because China too mean burned. All these words just mean to be dark or burned. China or China, Japan, to be burned. Ethiopia. Like, all these words mean to be dark. Mm-hmm. So you can call yourself whatever because you're connected to the world. You could be Russian if you choose.
And that's, you know, that's, I can appreciate your work and your knowledge in that, because I think sometimes we do, I think that's the thing, and this is why I guess I defer to the term Black, because the one thing I do know is that no matter where we are on this earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that we are going to have in common, which all connects us back to our origins, our original state. But then, you know, and again, when you start looking at migration patterns, like pre-colonialism, right? We're everywhere. And so, you know, I think, you know, I use it because it's universal in term. And I mean, I guess if you catch me on a good day, I'm Pan-African, right? You know, you know, I'm for all my people across the globe, right?
Yeah. We do know Africa is a the word Africa comes from a European, right? That put Africa under contract.
Same.
Africa is a corporate name, just like the United States is the corporate name for North America.
And I'm just gonna say, that's so much. You can only imagine who we would be if we were taught who we were, who we are, from the moment we received language, you know? And one of my, you know, I wouldn't call him a friend, but it's someone who I follow, who's friends of friends, and, you know, he started a school in Chicago, and he's building, but that's what he does. You know, he's teaching 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds, kindergartners, just in their lesson and in their curriculum about, you know, they're going through their language arts, and they're going through math, and they're going through science, but they're learning the history, the global history.
Because we are global people. We are global people, so we got to know world history. Because world history is our history. We set up the schools, the governments, everywhere. You know what I'm saying? We set them up everywhere. We set up the government. They were known, the pygmy people is what they was known by at that time. And you can research this and you will see the pygmy people. And they were also known as Moors too.
All I know is, and that's why I made my disclaimer at the beginning, there's things I have studied, there's things I've read, but I am definitely not a historian, and I just kind of look at my own personal past, and I'm like, there's just so much. You have to sit down and be able to take the time.
That's true.
And, you know, to learn, and in some ways, I have to give myself grace, and I'm saying this because I think this is also our lesson in how we move forward, you know, as a people, because too often we're ready, and I have been very frustrated, right? Because, as we were saying earlier, some people just really don't see that society is crumbling, like, before our eyes, and it's frustrating at times. Mm-hmm. But then I had to just be like, you know what, your destiny. My destiny is my destiny, and I know what my destiny is, and my destiny is not to fight my brother. You know what I'm saying? It's not to fight my sister. And sometimes it is a little bit frustrating, but so we're all out here trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And who has the time to learn something? something that was never given to us.
Okay,
you, we had access you ready? To.
You ready?
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. And I know people have a hard time fathoming it doesn't matter because they like, if you don't know your history, then you'll repeat the same pattern. That's true. I think once we decide to focus on the matter at hand, because right now we're being distracted with trying to learn the history, we can't focus on what we need to be doing. Because everybody's so focused on trying to learn shit, learn the past.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We done heard enough of the past. We come from being enslaved. So fuck the past. Yep. Let's create the future. Yep. We done heard enough.
That's what you're saying. If we gotta return to the past, it needs to be connected to our nature.
That's right. Like,
I feel you.
Like, we need to be going forward, not going backwards. We time traveling the wrong damn way.
There we go. Because here's the truth. You talk about higher vibration. Your higher vibration is going to tell you who you are regardless. Like, your genealogy is important. But we carry all of that inside of us, right? So if we, I think we were talking about this before we recorded, but it's that meditative state where we're clearing our mind. Because we're carrying it inside of us, right? Our ancestral DNA, our ancestral memory, it's there. We're living it every single day. In just some ways, we're not activating it, or we're not aware of its power. So we're walking in it, we're acting in it, but we're not aware of the true power. So we're leveraging it. To benefit us. In our last conversation, you and I talked a lot about my great-great-grandfather. And I mentioned how I didn't hear a lot about my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother. I didn't hear them mentioned really at all. I didn't even know them by name until recently. And because I have done a genealogical search, I've even found out who my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother's name and great-great-great-grandfather. That being said, in this search, I realized, because I'm looking at the energy in my family, right? Very powerful and dynamic black women. to the point where it could be toxic at times, right? Very domineering, right? You're not marrying into the family, and you're not going to, you're going to defer to my aunties and my mom. It's just what it is. And I couldn't, I started interacting with the world and in my own personal relationships, especially with men, and I just, it's like I feel like there's a need for me to be a softer type of woman, but I don't know that woman because I've never seen that woman, ever. Then I realized that my great-great-grandfather, because his wife, so my great-great-grandmother, she died pretty much after she stopped bearing children. I think, she had 12, and she died pretty much after that, so in her 40s, late 40s. Then my great-grandmother died, I think, around 45 after she, 2 years after she had my great-aunt. And my grandmother died at the age of 59. So my great-great-grandfather raised not only his kids, but his grandkids and his great-grandkids. And he was a stoic sharecropper. He was a farmer. He played no game. He was a hard worker, and he expected hard work.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. All right, so it's almost at the 60-minute mark. I don't know if it's... Okay. Let me see. Maximum recording time. Let's see.
Okay. Well, and I guess all that I'm saying is...
No, what I'm saying is that let me start this back over and we can finish the conversation.
Okay.
And that's gossip. Thank you guys for coming in on the show. If you guys want to come in on one of the series of The Dawning, you can email me at deaconmaverick@gmail.com. Please subscribe. Please follow, hit that like button. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you.